sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
And interested in your prayers. It seems as though I was just here. And I, like Brother Forrest, would have asked to just pass me by. But as we stand before you and asking an interest in your prayers, that the Lord of glory might be merciful to us this day, not only as I and the other elders stand before you, but throughout the day, that all that would be done would be to his praise and to his glory. I'd like to go to the Ephesian letter this morning. As I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about scripture, I want to go to the third chapter of Ephesians. And start reading there at verse 20. Ephesians 3. And it reads, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Amen.
We know, as we ask for prayer this morning, and sometimes when things fall upon us, we see that need for prayer, and also the need for a deliverance by the hand of the Lord our God. But in every aspect of life, brethren, we would hope that we might rightly comprehend that God is indeed able to deliver us in every circumstance of life. And for these two brethren that we're going to consider today for the office of deacon, you know, we would pray that you simply just trust in God.
Amen.
He is able to deliver you. He's able to, if he's called you to the office, he will equip you and provide you with all that you need. But that does not only go just for these two, but it goes for all of us.
Amen.
As God's little children. To understand that, you know, what we think and what God is able to do is oftentimes is that far. But God is able to bless us, brethren, in ways that we couldn't even imagine. That we couldn't even, as scripture would say here, that we couldn't even begin to ask for. I mean, that is who he is. He can provide to us. And I thought of that scripture. That was one of your dad's favorite quotes as well. "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think."
Yeah.
Understanding, brethren, that he in whom the writer is talking about is the Lord our God. That our God, brethren, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. I mean, listen to that description. Exceedingly abundantly and above. Is there such a thing? Yes, there is. And God is able to do that, even though we can't. He is able to do that for us, brethren. And we would think today that as we look to him, understand also that the writer says, according to the power that worketh in us. And that power, brethren, that worketh in us is from above.
Amen.
The writer's not talking about our own natural abilities to do things, whether it's in the office of a deacon or any other, just being part of the body. It is not dependent on our individual power. But likened unto that scripture that we read when the apostle asked the Lord to remove that thorn from his flesh. Remember the apostle asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn from his flesh. And the Lord simply told the apostle that his grace was sufficient. And when we think about the grace of God, that scripture also talks about his power. That in our weakness, brethren, the manifestation of the power of God is revealed. And so, brethren, as we approach our duties as members of the church, if we would remember that we walk and we have our being through the power and the grace that is delivered unto us by Almighty God. You know, when we begin to think in our heads of what we, who we are and what we are, brethren, just remember that we are but yet the dust of the earth. That our power and our ability to do those things that are right, our power and ability to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord our God, rest in the love and power and grace that he grants us. That we might rightly walk in the spirit that God delivers us into. You know, we're easily to sojourn in the flesh oft times. But as God's children, let us indeed strive that we might seek his power, that we might be blessed to walk with him. And he could write, it goes on, and as we go down to the first verse there, in the fourth chapter, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Regardless of what vocation that is, brethren, you know, we think about, if we think about ourselves as little lambs of God, whether that vocation would be an office in the church, or whether that vocation would be a school teacher, whatever that vocation might be, understand, brethren, that if we're blessed of God, and if we are to be profitable in that particular vocation, and if we were to strive to be in that vocation in a way that would honor the Lord our God, that we must remember that it is he who has equipped us, he who has called us, and it is he who makes us worthy indeed to fulfill that particular vocation in which we have been called, or in the case of these brethren today, of the office in which they have been called to serve in as a body. He says here that he beseech ye that we walk worthy. Walking worthy. He goes on here in verse 2 to sort of kind of describe to us what walking worthy means. It doesn't mean to be high-minded. It doesn't mean to set ourselves above. And it doesn't mean that we're to lord over anybody, regardless of what office that we might be in. But he says, with all lowliness and meekness. And brethren, understanding that we can't manufacture lowliness and meekness. We can't manufacture that. We can't go buy it. We can't sell it. We can't give it to one or to another. But we serve one, brethren. If we think about that verse 20 back there, we serve one who is able to bless us to walk that way. That we may walk as meek and lowly lambs of God. You know, we think of meekness and lowliness sometimes as being a bad thing. I mean, we think about, well, you know, people are going to walk all over me. I don't want people to walk all over me. But, you know, brethren, don't worry about that. I mean, when we are blessed to walk with him, I realize that every single battle is his. It is he who's going to deliver you anyway. So don't kick against the bricks, brethren, but simply rest in that spirit in which he has delivered you into. Amen. That you may walk, brethren, as that lowly Lamb of God. That we may walk, brethren, that example that our Savior set for us here who went even all his way to the cross. He didn't cry out. He didn't, I mean, he was silent, brother. I mean, but he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he had the power, as he told them. He had the power, brethren, to, if he would ask of his father would deliver him by the hands of 12 legions of angels. But he did not. He was obedient unto the Father, brethren. He was that lowly lamb. He was that perfect sacrifice who humbled himself for you and I. He humbled himself, brethren, and became sin for you and I, brethren, that we, brethren, would have life and have it abundantly. So it is not beyond our efforts, brethren, in the presenting of our bodies, brethren, that we would heed to God's words when he says, brethren, that we are to walk worthy of our calling and in all lowliness, in all meekness, brethren. He says, go on, he says, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What does that mean? Long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. Brethren, we have to be patient with one another. You know, we all got issues. You know, praise be to God that when we walk in these little meeting houses, brethren, that for the most part, God stripped us of all of those natural things that we might be in one accord. But when we're to be long-suffering, we know that God is long-suffering. If he wasn't long-suffering, brethren, this world would have been gone a long time ago. God is long-suffering, even with us, brethren, as we come before the Father and confess our sins, as it is our duty to do. How quickly, brethren, do we find ourselves right back into that same sin again? Right. Crying out to a merciful God that he might deliver us yet another time again. So God is long-suffering with us. And what he's telling us here, brethren, that when we walk worthy of that office that we've been called into, that we too will, brethren, not only walk with lowliness and meekness, but be long-suffering and forbearing one with another. Because it is the love of God, it always prevails, brethren. No matter how difficult this particular circumstance might be, understand that through the love of God, we will be delivered. And when we're blessed to walk with him, to be long-suffering, to be forbearing, to be patient one with another, brethren, with all meekness and lowliness of heart, that God would be glorified in all that we say and do. You know, brethren, I know it's all of our desires to glorify God. I mean, well, not because we have we want to earn rightfully in our own merit a deliverance, but because we've already been delivered, we seek to do those things that will be pleasing to the Lord our God, because he's already shown us his love, he's already shown us his mercy, he's already, brethren, blessed us, brethren, to gather in these little assemblies, to be lifted up into these heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord, not by our own efforts, brethren, but by his love and power and grace that we're lifted up, brethren. And it is the same way that he will lift you up. If we simply just look to him.
Right.
Look to him who is the author and finisher of our faith. He, brethren, who has begun that good work, he will finish that good work, brethren. He will complete it. But, brethren, we must be faithful. Be faithful in our walk. Be faithful, brethren, in the duties in which he has called us. Looking, brethren, not to move in accordance with our own understanding, but by the power and grace of the Lord our God. You know, we read one of my favorite quotes is from the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And when we do that, we lean not on our own understanding. Because our understanding, brethren, ain't worth much. You know. But we lean upon the righteousness of the Lord our God. We lean upon, brethren, his ability to simply lift us up and carry us through. When you find yourself being tested, when you find yourself being impatient, for instance, it'll happen. So Brother John says, when you find yourself being impatient, cry out to him who's able to deliver you. You see, brethren, because patience, like love, like meekness and lowliness, all of those things come by the hand of a merciful God.
Amen.
Yes, we may mess up from time to time. But when we do, let's not lay there and wallow in it. But let us cry out to the Lord that He will deliver us. And He will deliver you. He has throughout all of time. He's not going to stop today. As David would say, even when we make our beds in hell, that thou art there. And you will always be. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding. At peace, brethren, we can be blessed to walk in. At peace, brethren, we can be blessed to abide in. But let us, brethren, always, first and foremost, look up from whence cometh our help. Because our help cometh from the Lord our God. That is where it has always come from. That is the only place it will ever come from. So let us not waste our time looking elsewhere.
Right.
As Sister Gladys's dad would say, let us not go all the way around the belt just simply to get to the buckle.
Right.
But let us still indeed go to the source of the matter in all times. And that source of deliverance for us as God's children has always been and always will be the Lord our God.
Amen.
Blessed be His name.
Amen.
Was grace that taught my heart to hear and grace my tears
I, as Brother John was speaking there, sort of had my chain rattled, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, for those of us that are in the ministry, we read and we study the Word of God, and of course we're always looking for the next sermon. And before meetings, we all study and long to impart something to God's children through His Spirit. we study and think about things to preach on. And this morning, as Brother John began to speak, just what had been on my mind just seemed to fade away. And I rejoice in the things that have been said. And actually would like to just go just a little bit below where Brother John ended up. And Lord willing, He'll bless me for a few moments here this morning. In the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter, the same apostle says, and he gave some, this is verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As we think about the things that Brother John has brought to our hearing, and the purpose that we're here for today, to consider for ordination too, that we believe that the Lord has blessed with the gifts to carry out the office, that we would set them apart too. And, you know, to be reminded of our purpose here, not just here today, but every day of our lives as God's children. We can and we should spend large amounts of time remembering the salvation that's wrought to us by the grace of God. But we need to remember the importance of discipleship and of growing into Christ.
Amen.
In other words, it's one thing to have the love of God in one's own heart and to truly pant after God in one's own heart, and then to allow the flesh to just drain all of that life out of us. Now, I don't mean drain it out in the sense that we cease to be alive in Christ, but I'm saying that we die away to the joys of God here in this life.
Amen.
And we see that as we travel along life's pathway, and we see many times those that we know are God's children, those who love the Lord every bit as much as we do, but are so distracted by the things of this world that have been taught to believe that allowing the flesh to have rulership is somehow a part of being a disciple.
Right.
That getting along with everything that comes along is okay. Or that looking down and frowning upon others is okay. Or that all of those sort of things which are of the flesh are things that God's people should be doing. And yet, as Brother John has brought to our minds, there is importance in how we live. If we're going to truly be disciples of Christ, and if we're not just children of God, but disciples of Christ, doing what God created us to do, which is to manifest the love of God that's in our hearts as we travel and sojourn along in this dark world. To let the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shine in this world, that others of God's children might see that light and glorify the God of heaven who created it and placed it in us. You see, for those who understand God's truth, whenever you see some good person out here, you understand that they're not good in and of themselves.
Amen.
Whenever we see someone, regardless of how imperfect all of our lives are, when you see someone in whom you see the working of God going on in their lives, you know, if we're properly taught, if we properly understand and have the fleshly nature abased in us, that which we see in others came not of their own goodness, but of God Himself.
Amen.
And the Apostle says, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we live in a culture, and this is not unique in the world, but it's heavily promoted in the culture in which we live, that God is my God and He's all about me, and that whatever I think and whatever I believe is A-okay. And we're living in a culture that teaches that. And all too sadly, in the United States of America, the most blessed nation I believe ever to be upon the face of the earth, having the true church of the living God, and living in the day and time in which you and I live today, and we might like to look back sometimes and think about how others had it and the simpler life that existed, and we may start to think that they had it all good back then, but the truth is they had their problems in their lifetime as well.
Sure.
And the church has always leaned upon the Lord God of heaven for everything that it had need of. It's not about what men are able to create or men are able to do, but it's about understanding that the body of Christ is here and is fully fitted together with the gifts that God has given each and every one of us individually, that we may glorify His name, that we may edify one another, that we may be there and strengthen one another as God has given individual gifts. Now, throughout the history of God's children, you know, He's given apostles, He's given prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Now, someone may say, well, you know, all of those people are about like the ministry of the word. Well, that's not all that's under consideration here, I believe, when the Apostle Paul was talking, especially when he speaks about pastors and teachers. There's a ministry for every little child of God, every one of God's little children here on this earth. Now, not everyone is going to stand in the pulpit. Not everyone is going to do one thing or another, but we all have the gifts, each and every one of us, that God has given us. Amen. And we are to use those things as He has individually laid those things upon us, that we may instruct, that we may guide, that we may manifest the righteousness of God and show others what God has done for us, that we may help God's children along life's pathway and point them most especially and foremost to Him who is the author and finisher of their faith and the giver of every perfect gift and the deliverer of every deliverance that you and I ever enjoy here in this life. You know, sometimes I run across we run across those who are so wrapped up in eternal salvation, and sometimes it's in obtaining it, and sometimes it's in just retaining the knowledge that they have it, that they forget that there's a whole life here that God has given us to live for His sake.
Amen.
And that in the doing of the things that He's given us, that there is a manifestation of the glory and righteousness of God. There is a showing forth of the creature that He has made us. And yes, there is assurance to each and every one of us when we follow our Lord and Savior and when we seek to upbuild in the kingdom of God. So not every teaching is going to be from the pulpit. Not everything that's learned is going to be learned through a minister, a gospel minister.
Amen.
And that we all, as the body of Christ and members in particular, that we all have that worthiness and that gift that God has given us. You know, Paul addresses in another place that, you know, if someone can say that because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. I'm not getting that quoted, but you know the scripture and the familiar. The point is, if everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be?
Exactly.
If everyone was an ear, where would the running be? If everyone was feet, where would the handling be? In other words, the gifts that each and every little child of God has given to them are to be used. And we're here today, we believe, to recognize some that we believe our Lord has given His children. And these things, regardless of where it comes from, whether it's in the ministry, or whether it's the gospel ministry, or whether it's in the deaconship, or wherever we may be in the church of the living God, that we're all here for the perfecting of the saints. We're here for one another, for the work of the ministry, not just the gospel ministry, mind you, but the teaching of God's children, the things that we've learned, the things that we've seen, and what God has showed us. For the edifying of the body of Christ, you know, the building up of one another, the strengthening of one another, the abasing of our fleshly nature, and the strengthening of the spiritual man that is in us, each and every one of us. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now we know that, you know, the Scripture always describes the apostles and all of God's children as children throughout the Scriptures. We're never going to reach that place in this life where there's nothing more to learn. We're never going to reach that place where we've reached perfection and there's no more growing to do. So we just as well perish that thought and remember to keep traveling along this life's pathway, showing forth the things that God has given to us, done for us, and teaching and showing and manifesting that unity of faith that God has given to each and every one of us. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, it's important to understand that when we're born of the Spirit, we're just newborn babes in Christ. There's some growing that needs to be done. And there's some growing for me. There's some growing for you. And every little child of God, that we grow into Christ. And not just be satisfied, or try to be satisfied is what it would amount to. Try to be satisfied with the knowledge and understanding that the Lord is our Savior. I mean, it's great to understand that. It's important to understand it, and that should be in the forefront of everything that we teach and the motivation behind every good work that's a part of our lives. But we need to understand as God's children that we're not waiting to have fellowship with our Lord and Savior. That we're longing for His presence in our life each and every day.
Absolutely.
Just like Mary, you know, standing outside the tomb. She was there longing for her Lord and Savior. And the disciples had came and they looked and they saw the empty tomb after she told them it was empty. And there she stood outside. And our Lord and Savior came to her and told her to go tell the disciples that He was risen and that He was ascending to His Father and their Father, to His God and to their God. And when Mary came, what did they do? They just didn't really believe it. You know, and we're like that. We have that fleshly nature that's a part of each and every one of us that doesn't want to be bothered, the unbelief that is a part of our very being. That it's important for us, not just in the worship service, but in everyday life, to show forth as well as we can, to the best of our ability, what God has done for us. That we may grow into a perfect man, unto the measure and stature and the fullness of Christ. And that doesn't mean perfection in the truest and fullest sense like Christ had perfection, but that we continue to grow closer and more like Him every day of our life. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, You know, there's a purpose in adhering to the Word of God. And all too sadly, many of God's children, many of our brethren, are missing out on that today by neglecting to follow the Lord, by neglecting to hear His Word. You know, it's a lot easier to be spiritually minded when you're around people who are spiritually minded.
Yes.
When we're out here in the world, a lot of what we see is just after the flesh and what man thinks he can do for himself and natural reasoning and understanding. And if we spend all our time in there, and we have to spend some of it, if we spend all our time in there and don't spend time with our Lord and Savior and with and among His people, and that world will begin to swallow us up. And the history of the church, if you were to study it from the time of Christ all the way down to the present day, is a history of that continually happening over and over again. Everywhere the church has ever been, God's children have flourished and God's people have grown more and more spiritual. And then after time goes on, eventually God's children have begun to reject the Word of God and cease to be truly spiritual and become puffed up in themselves and what they have. And then it begins by just leaving your first love. And then before long, you're all wrapped up in the world and the things that are of it. And before long, God's children begin to act like the Pharisees in the time of our Lord and Savior. If you want to know what will happen when people reject God's Word and His church, just turn on the TV. And when they start telling you about the things that's happening in the Middle East, and you say, well, they've always been fighting over there all the time. Well, there's always been battles and fighting over there. But I want to tell you that in places like Syria and Damascus, there was a time when God's church flourished there. There was a time when the people in that region and area of the world rejoiced in the same gospel message that you and I hear today. And we know that the Lord still has a people there. But God's children in that part of the world rejected the church and have lost a great amount of the blessing of it. The same can be true for Asia Minor and those churches that we read about, the churches here that we're reading about, in that part of the world, that's what happened to them. And it has happened throughout Europe and everywhere that the church has been, and I'm telling you, that it looks like it's beginning to happen, has been happening in the good old United States of America. Now, you and I can't deliver the church. Only the Lord can do that. But we can continue to follow after Him, that the Lord might deliver us, that we, having seen His kingdom and rejoicing in it, don't turn away and lose that in our lifetime. That we might grow, continue to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior. That we might continue to be that light in the dark world. And where others are all wrapped up in craftiness and a willingness to deceive, being themselves deceived, that we might speak the truth in love, and may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, how important is it for me, and I'll just use myself as an example, how important is it for me to be thought of as a great man with great understanding and great ability to speak and great ability to woo crowds, if I'm not growing in Christ? And what value is it to the crowds who would hear me speak if I'm not drawing them into Christ?
Amen.
You see, if religious belief is all it's about, it can become vain.
Right. Absolutely.
Men can become wrapped up in religion, and we see that all across our country and all across the world and all throughout the history of the world, that men can become wrapped up in religion. But I want God's children to be wrapped up in Christ.
Amen.
I want God's children to see Him. I want God's children, when they're like Mary standing outside the tomb there, is all concerned at the things that are happening, looking for Him, and not knowing what's going on around about her, to hear His voice and recognize His voice and rejoice in Him. To grow up into the head, our Lord and Savior. That's our purpose here today. That we may edify one another, that we all may grow in Jesus Christ, that we all might be a better person tomorrow than we are today, that we may serve Him, not out of some bondage and fear, but in gratitude for the mercy bestowed upon us.
Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle, said that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He didn't say that it was the end of the law in every aspect. What he said is it's the end of the law for righteousness. You see, when people are wrapped up in unbelief, they begin to take all that law, and that's what the Pharisees did, take all that law and begin to think that if they can just keep it close enough and good enough, that they'll be righteous before God. My point is, the law was never given for that purpose. The law would manifest true and real righteousness when it exists, and so therefore, in striving to keep it and continually failing, the children of Israel always manifested their own unrighteousness. That's what the law brought. But when our Lord and Savior walked upon the face of this earth, when our Lord and Savior healed the sick and fed the multitudes and proclaimed the gospel message, the law showed Him to be who He was, the Son of God, the only righteous man to ever walk upon the face of the earth, in whom is grace and truth. So is the law good for you and me? In order that we may know how to abase the flesh, that we may live our lives in gratitude to Jesus Christ, that we may manifest the righteousness of Christ that's in us, it's good for all of those things yet today. I'm talking about the moral precepts found in the law. It's good for all of those things for you and me today. But it never has been, and it isn't today, and it won't be tomorrow, anything that can ever purchase or buy or secure any righteousness for any little child of God. But we can show forth that one who was and is righteous. And we can grow up in Him and show forth His godliness, His righteousness, His holiness. By growing up into the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Mind you, not just some parts, not just some of you have it and some of you don't, but the effectual working in every part of the body of Christ, and that's what we are, the body of Christ and individual members in particular. That which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Why are we here today? Well, the one thing is we're going to consider the ordination of these brethren. But the purpose of gathering together in God's name, it's twofold. First and foremost, to honor God and to thank Him and to be grateful for all that He's done. But secondarily, that we may learn of Him, because to know Him is to love Him.
Amen.
And that we may edify, that is, build up one another and strengthen one another in the things of God and godliness. That we might be a reminder when our minds become cast down because of the problems that are here in this life, that God is still on His throne, that He still has His people, and that He's still working and moving among His people today. It's a widely held concept. among many of God's children, I need to sit down. That God did miracles in the Old Testament. And that our Lord and Savior did miracles in the times of the apostles, but that's all gone now. And it's just kind of up to us to work our way through it. I want to tell you that that couldn't be more untrue.
Amen.
The God that lived in the olden times, as the hymn writer said, is just the same today.
Amen.
The same one who walked with the three Hebrew children in that burning fiery furnace is walking with you and me today.
Amen.
The same one who fed the multitudes, walked by the seashore of Galilee, and who healed the lame that was let down in the roof. He took away the blindness, is walking with his people today. Not all of his healing was natural in that day. Not all of it is in this day. But let me tell you, anything you need, not just spiritual things, but natural things as well, are able to be delivered to you by the hand of our Lord and Savior. We can be a help to one another, but anything that each and every one of us can do is only through the grace of God bestowed upon us.
Amen.
So that all glory, all praise, and all honor for every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights, with him, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen.
Look to him in this life. And as you brethren go out in the duty that's going to be bestowed upon you, Lord willing, today, look to him for everything that you have need of. May the Lord bless you, is my hope and prayer.
Amen.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already
in goodness morning, brother. The Lord be with you.
His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead.
Daryl Hand.
Wow, how special was that? It's so good to be here with you. I'm so glad in this day for these two brothers that the church has called to set aside as servants of the church. I saw as I came a special gleam in their eyes, both of them. It's such a special, special thing. Brother Forrest was talking about that we study and we get things on our mind that we want to bring forth, because we know we're going to be called upon from time to time. But it does sometimes completely fly away from your mind.
Sure.
Seems like these two brothers have, what my dad told me about was stirring up the pure mind. Scriptures tell us that ye have the mind of Christ. I like that mind.
Amen.
Because all kinds of good things come to your mind and your heart. The mind of Christ is something very special. All good things, none of the bad. Looking in the 8th chapter of John, I want to point out just a few words that Jesus Christ said. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, brothers and sisters, he's talking about right now, while it is today, following Christ. I enjoyed so much the different and diverse thoughts that I accumulated while sitting under the preaching of the gospel from my brothers. Amen. We can't even express it. It's such a wonderful thing to be in touch with your Lord and Savior by the Spirit of Almighty God as you sit in the presence of those that you love. It's an awesome thing. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus tells us that the greatest is your servant. I see deacons as servants. I see ministers as servants. I see each and every one attending a church meeting as a servant. We are serving the Almighty God. We need to let it shine, that light that's within us. You know, I've had some things happen to me lately that makes me look at life in a different way sometimes. And one of them was that I got all upset and all mad about worldly things. Somebody was watching a football game, and I said, "You watching football? You're not supposed to watch football. They won't even stand up for the anthem." Well, brothers and sisters, as I thought about that, and I read the scriptures, and it came to me what Peter said, that you cannot, if you don't possess these things, which are all good things, you cannot see afar off.
Right.
The reason why we can't see afar off is because we have blinders in front of us. We look at the ball game as an adversity to us if we are looking at a ball the object right in front of us. What I'm saying is God has said, "Ye are not of this world. The kingdom of heaven is not of this world." We have to look through the veil and see the greater things in life rather than the stumbling of something like who should watch a football game. It's amazing how we do. It's amazing what we think when we look at the news. We're not to be worried about those things. Ye are not of this world, the kingdom is. Let me go in the 11th chapter of John. We talk about Lazarus. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Sometimes we go places where we really don't want to go. Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?
If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Brothers and sisters, if we go along in this life with blinders on, we're going to see nothing but darkness. We have to see through that veil. We have to see through the problems and persecutions, tribulations of this world, and see Jesus. Amen. See the good things of life. Then the little things like a football game or the news is not going to bother you. If we're looking at the right, in the right perspective, then things are going to be all well, because of the precious love of God. Let me go a little bit into John over in the 36th, 18th chapter, 36th verse. He was talking to Pilate. 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, Think about this. What is Jesus talking about when he is facing a crucifixion and talking to Pilate? Excuse me. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. That kingdom of heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king, a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Brothers and sisters, that's our elder brother. That's what we are to follow. That's what we are to do, is to testify and to manifest that Jesus Christ that works in you and testify to the truth. He says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Isn't that precious that we have that elder brother, our wonderful Savior, that has given us this example that we may walk in God's love and show and manifest Him? It's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ, that one that was the ultimate sacrifice, that we was a propitiation for our sins. Talking about the offices in the church, sometimes we see in 1 Corinthians in the 31st verse, very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of the wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now the Apostle Paul was very knowledgeable, And I'm sure he was a very good speaker. But he says, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When you see those proclaiming the gospel of God, which is the good news, you see through the veil. You see Jesus Christ, you don't see the man. We don't come with excellency of speech, even though the Apostle Paul was probably very capable in wisdom and excellency of speech. And he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We get back to that meekness, that inside wonder that God has put within a man. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Any member of a church has a responsibility to show his Savior within him and walk in a way of showing that. This church is a bride of Christ. How precious is that? How much does He love us? How much does He care for us? When we undertake a calling by the church, it is to be with diligence. It is to be with meekness. It is to be with humility. It is to be in a way that is as a servant, serving the living God. Serving Jesus as He walks, as He taught us to walk. Now, brothers and sisters, I've got to tell you how much that I have gained from being together with you, meeting with you, praising God together. And I want to tell you a little story that exemplifies it. As we were in the annual meeting of Happy Creek, I can remember every time that we broke for lunch. And I went downstairs, and it was just amazing to see what the sisters had done as far as providing good things to eat and the fellowship that was going on. It was such a precious thing. And I had something very interesting happen to me. I felt like I heard the voice of God talking to me. It was not in an audible voice, but it just, I heard one of my brothers. As I was standing there looking over all of those desserts, all of those pretty things that I wanted to indulge in and did, I heard a voice behind me. And I know it was from God because it was the truth and it was in love and it was from a friend. But I heard this voice that said, don't you know that stuff's not good for you? I turned around. It was Brother Donnie. And he was eating cantaloupe. You know, I think I've lost about 5 pounds since he did that. But it's a precious thing, brothers and sisters. I know it was from God. That's the way God works. Don't you know that that stuff's not good for you? It was not. He would do anything but hurt me. It was, sometimes we kid around a little bit. But let me tell you, the Word of God is a powerful thing.
Amen.
God brings things to our minds. We see things that we would never see from one another as we are gathered together in fellowship, praising God. You might think that's a little thing, but I took that pretty seriously. And I love my brother for it. Because I could go through counseling, trying to learn how to lose weight, but that comes back to my mind every time I look at a dessert table. And that's good for me, my dear brothers and sisters. I wanted to tell you that just to let you know how important we are one to another. Because God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure, even though we don't even know it. Unbeknownst to ourselves. I don't know how many times that the Lord God above has delivered me when I had the responsibility to come and talk to the children of God. Even though I didn't study like I should have, even though I didn't know what I should, even though the things were that I could do was non-existent, He came through for His children through me and has nothing to do with me or my personal way. That's the way God works. It is so good to be with you and hear the preaching of the gospel today. And I'm looking so forward to this precious thing this afternoon for these two beaming lights of the world, that it's such a wonderful thing that a church could call and set apart laborers in the vineyard.
Yeah.
It's a wondrous thing. This is the bride of Christ. We are to serve God with everything that we have. We are to live in obedience to God. We are to walk as Jesus Christ walked. And when we're under the preaching of the gospel, let that mind of Christ be stirred up. It's so wonderful to be with you today, and God bless you. It's good to be with you.
We're going to sing the entirety of Amazing Grace. I love you, my brother.